Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 468, Pet Cemetery.
The Sem-A-Ter-I. Yeah.
Kids are so dumb.
Yeah, what do they know?
I don't burying dead pets, spelling stuff.
You know how
wrong.
Hard it is to write a review on this without it correcting you every time?
Yeah, lots of red squigglies. Yeah, so before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. And of course, our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers. So there, that's all of that
done.
Let's talk about dead pets.
Yeah, and dead babies or dead toddlers.
So I had never seen the original. I went back and I only had time to watch the first hour of the original because it was a crazy weekend. But so I knew nothing about this movie. I seriously thought this movie was about zombie pets that come and murder everybody.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I knew it was about pets coming back to life. And I'm like, I seriously thought it was about this demon cat orchestrating his band of demon animals to murder them all. So I had no idea.
So this was like a family. What was your reaction when okay, so here's the deal. Spoilers real quick. They switch the kids.
Yeah.
So in the source material and the original movie, the baby is hit by a truck. In this new one, it's Ellie, the older kid.
Don't even remember the daughter.
You don't remember the daughter.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, she's not even a thing
in the original movie.
Yeah.
She's barely.
They focus on her quite a bit. The boy isn't even old enough to talk in the original. The ages are a lot different.
No. Oh.
Oh, trust me. I just watched it. No, the little kid is a 2-year-old.
That's how old
he is
in the book.
Yeah, but this movie, they flipped him. What I mean is that the daughter has a huge role in the original one, a much bigger role than Gage did. Like, you would understand Gage not playing a big part because he's a little kid, right?
Right, right.
But in the original, it's the ages are the same, so you end up getting the daughter is the one that's,
I guess
talking
Ellie
all the
is
time,
kind right? of, yeah, she, guess she is talking a lot. So I've also been reading the book. I'm almost done with the book. What was your reaction when Gage gets hit by the truck in the original?
Oh, I was like, how'd they do that? Because it was all practical. I even messaged Tom. I'm like, holy crap.
And I told you how they did that. So the parents had twins, and they just had them pick your favorite.
Yeah, totally. Makes sense.
But I'm like, I watched it.
Sounds like a Stephen King thing to do.
Yeah,
I rewound it 5 times, and I'm like, okay, that truck is booking. I get showing the truck booking down the road when there's no one on the other end because the camera's pointing there. But then they show Gage walking out with his kite in the middle of the road and the truck is still booking in the same shot. And I'm like, how in the hell did you do that? So I still don't know, but it was, yeah.
What was your reaction when they hit Ellie?
I was just like, dang, because it was a head fake.
Because
Gage is the one running out in the street because he's chasing Ellie, but then the truck swerves and doesn't hit.
No, he catches him. Jason Clark. So in the book,
he saves him, but the truck then topples and then hits Ellie. So
right.
It was like, whoa.
In the book, it's interesting how, because in the original one, Stephen King wrote that script as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it is almost word for word from the book. Like, yeah, the book and the dialogue from the original one is almost identical.
He just adapt straight away.
Exactly. They added that thing with the caretaker, the gal that hangs herself. Mm-hmm. That's not in the book.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Where
this new version is definitely a truncated version of... It's a shorter version. Like, they've whittled it down to, like, the bare bones... Not in a bad way,
yeah,
of that book.
Can I say, you know, we've reviewed several horror movies on this podcast, mm-hmm, and to me, none of them have really felt scary. This is the scariest movie I remember in a long time. Like, actually feeling, like, creepy, scary.
We didn't review it, but the first Conjuring,
oof,
I thought.
No, yeah, I watched that at home.
Yeah.
But I mean, out of the ones we've reviewed, like, a lot of them, I'm just like, okay, I get it. There's some creepy tones. Like, Us is very... unnerving and creepy,
but it's not scary.
Right.
This movie, they do something smart, is they do like triple fake outs, you know, or they like fake you out, but they're not fake outs, they're delayed. So you're like, oh, I know this is scary, I can brace myself. And you're like, oh, okay, it wasn't that bad. And then they drop another one on you and you're like, holy, like that made me just,
yeah,
like that.
So so the directors of this movie, I thought they did Mama, but they didn't. They're doing Mama 2.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't watch Mama.
I know.
Really,
well,
irrelevant.
I wanted to watch it anyway. But they also did a flick called Starry Eyes.
Okay.
Which, if you haven't seen that, go do that.
Okay.
It's fantastic. So this is, I mean, if you know the story, basically, yeah, it's,
from the first hour I saw the old one, I mean, this is a very similar, like, if you've seen the original, they didn't change a whole
lot.
Yeah,
they've changed the script because obviously Stephen King was like, my words are perfect, we'll just put them in people's mouths.
Yeah.
This one has
Especially Herman Munster.
He was great. Like, I like, but also, like, I've been listening to it on Audible.
Yeah.
And Michael C. Hall has been, is reading it, but when he does Judd,
yeah,
he sounds like John Lithgow. Like, it sounds like he's doing a John Lithgow impression.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So it worked.
Yeah.
So we've got Jason, we've got Lou and Rachel and Ellie and Jade.
And so why do they move to this town?
So in the originally, it's like he was a big city doctor, mm, and life was getting a little crazy. Yeah. So like he took this job at the college to kind of like take a step back.
Was their marriage in jeopardy, or how do you?
I didn't take it that way.
They never referenced that, but there's always.
That's why I'm wondering though, like, because they don't, and I'm like,
it was Stephen King, right? Like, there's, yeah, always that underlying thing, right? Yeah. Like in the book, Rachel, the wife, doesn't deal with death. Like, she doesn't, like, there's that, the whole scene where Jason Clark is talking to Ellie about, mm-hmm, church,
oh,
like,
yeah,
that becomes a massive fight, mm-hmm, between Lou and Rachel. Yeah. In the next scene,
and
in
the original movie, it's kind of, it's,
she's
kind of
super standoffish about,
yeah,
it.
I mean, she obviously, the sister element is there in the original movie too. So like the wife does not deal with death well because she's had some traumatic experiences, and so they different in their parenting and the way that,
yeah,
they deal with, you know, what happens when you die, and he really wants to kind of like tiptoe around things.
No,
and
she does. He's kind of like, look,
oh, because he's a doctor. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
so he's,
yeah,
practical and says, this is what happens when you die, whatever. And she's like, no, we don't need to.
Right,
yeah,
we didn't talk about that. Yeah. But of course, you know, Ellie is smart, mm-hmm, so she's, you know, this conversation about death and things like that. What I will say that they took out of this movie that I feel like it kind of needed was that relationship building. There's definitely a father-son relationship between Judd and Lou from the book that is kind of important as this goes. So like,
yeah, I feel like this movie was a little shorter than it should have been.
I agree.
I also think that one of the thing, and overall, I liked the movie.
I did too.
But I think one of the things it also misses is I really felt like what made the book work so well is like you really felt the intense grief,
yes,
of the loss of a child.
Yeah.
And there's a chapter in that book that has always stuck with me where, and I think I'm very much on the record about hating dream sequences.
Oh, sure.
And there's a dream sequence in the book where after Gage has been hit by the truck and you've kind of wallowed in this grief for a little while.
Oh, God. Are you talking about where he's looking at Gage growing up?
And then, like, he has a dream where Gage is alive and the reader doesn't know that it's a dream, although you can kind of,
right,
figure out. But, you know, like... And I read the book when I was like 14 or 15, but like I fell for it, you know, and when it was over, I was like, I should know better than this, you know, but one of the things I really liked about it in retrospect that I think makes that chapter so smart, especially when I hate dream sequences,
sure,
I just think they're a complete waste of time, but is
do you
that,
know that Gage is dead at that point?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, okay.
You do. Like, and I because
so
it was
how
like,
does it even trick you? I don't get it.
Because it just starts like it starts if memory.
Oh, you thought
serves,
maybe it was a flashback
like,
or
you,
something.
No,
or?
You think that like oh the truck part was the dream, like the him dying.
Oh,
yeah,
I
dream.
See.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
okay.
that now he's waking
because
up
he
and
says
everything's okay.
He, like he says that like I reached out and I grabbed him.
Right.
Like the scene where Jason okay. Clark grabs Gage. That's in the dream sequence.
Right.
Oh,
and
I
you're,
see.
And you're,
yeah.
and you're like, oh, okay, oh, good.
We're
he saved,
okay.
he saved this kid. But it's like, but it also like gets you in that mindset of like, you get why the dad would do this.
Yeah.
Because like, for the same reason that I believe this really lazy trope of a dream sequence, you know what I mean? That it's
sure.
like, it's because you don't want it to be
you
true.
You don't want the 3-year-old to be hit yeah. by a truck.
Right. You don't want it to be true.
Right, right. Yeah. So yeah, so they go to this small town. It's interesting that they still find a way to tie in other movies to this. Like if you when we get to Ellie's birthday, you can hear John Lithgow talking about a rabid dog to Ellie and the
yeah.
way they had to put it down. And it's just like, okay, well, there's Cujo.
Well, right. I thought like, he was talking about his dog.
No, he's talking,
oh, he's talking about,
he's
another
talking
one?
About
oh,
a
okay.
rabid Rottweiler.
Oh, okay.
That, or a Rottweiler that went rabid.
Yeah, nice.
And
okay.
Just, so.
It, and I think the book does that too, doesn't it? Doesn't the book reference Cujo?
Maybe. I don't remember. I don't think so, because I feel like I would remember that. But like,
almost all of his books reference
they're all tied
books.
Into something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they, we go to this small town in Maine or Massachusetts.
No, Maine.
It's Maine. Yeah. You know, we've introduced
it's
the
Stephen
family.
King.
It's
Maine.
Maine. Yeah, that's true.
Unless it's The Shining.
Do they start in Maine? Where do they start in that?
I don't. No, I don't think so. But it does. The Shining does tie back into Maine
somehow.
Stuff because the caretaker,
yeah.
the black caretaker,
yeah.
is his character relates back like to
oh,
like,
he's somebody's like uncle or something.
Yeah,
right?
He's like the in it. They talk about like that black nightclub that
yeah,
gets burned down.
That's right.
Where's Dan when we need a kung
a Hong Kong
yeah. reference?
And like, I think he was related to one of those people,
okay.
and then he moves to Colorado.
Got it.
I think is what happens.
I gotcha. So we're introduced to our family. So it's Jason Clark as Lewis Reed. I wish I could remember the actress's name who was Rachel, but she's always in stuff. You recognize her. She's great.
I recognized her, but didn't know her. I'm like,
she was
someone.
I think she was in
Amy Smets. Smets.
Sure.
Okay.
She's very good. She's also great. And then we've got Ellie and Gage.
Yeah.
So we go and we're introduced, you know, they're kind of pulling up. We're introduced to Judd, played by John Lithgow. Who's the guy across the street?
So Ellie goes into the creepy forest.
Well,
she
sees the kids.
Around.
She sees the kids kind of, you know, we see the masks and the kids walking yeah. up this path, and we find that Ellie has walked up to the pet cemetery. Yeah. And of course, we see this, and this is in the original movie as well, where you've got like this giant dam almost built by like dead trees and Ellie starts
they do
to
a better job in this movie because it's like if you really wanted to keep people out in the beginning it's like not as built up
right
and this movie it's like you have to really
have to climb
over that thing
yeah
but she's wandering around in there and Judd finds her and that's how
she gets stung by a bee which yeah. is right out of the book like it's a the thing that lets Rachel trust Judd is that he immediately takes care of Ellie's yeah. injury.
You know, in this day and age, I'm like, this is really creepy.
Super creepy.
You're talking to some creepy old man in the woods.
Yeah.
And he's dealing with your little kid. Like, to me, that was very uncomfortable. And to her credit,
Rachel's credit, she's like, oh, we got to go.
She is very much like, let's go.
Right.
Where, you know.
Right. So, yeah. So, this is our first introduction to that. And then as they're unpacking, Judd kind of references, you know, kind of calls Lou over. And we find Church, the cat, has been hit by a truck. One of the things that they double down on in the book and in the original movie is these Orenco trucks and the speed that they are going up and down this
road.
They
did a better job in this movie because in the beginning they were like, someone is getting hit by a truck.
Right.
There are trucks on this road. Look at these trucks. In this movie, it caught me by complete surprise because I saw the new one first.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't
okay.
know what was going to happen.
Well, in the book, they definitely like, it shows up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Where
but
like
I like this.
On a
this
front
was way
and...
smarter. Don't show me 100 trucks.
Right.
No crap. Someone gets hit by a truck.
Right.
Like, so in that first one, I'm like, oh my god. Okay, we get it. But we should also say before we go this far, because I think it's important, is that trauma patient comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah. So there's
so that's where the dad starts freaking out with all this.
Right. So
a kid at the
Pascal.
School.
I feel like they when the gore is needed, they get it, and it's not over the top. But I mean, the dude got hit by a car.
Oh, you see his brain. You know, like that's gnarly.
That's all in the book. Like
Absa Ahmed.
What's the character's name? Pascal.
Victor Pascal.
Okay, yeah. Which again, they do take parts of the book that the other one doesn't. Where they call it's funny because as you're reading it, it's written at a time much later. But like they're calling the nurses candy stripers, like in the book. So like one of the nurses is like, oh god,
well, nurse and candy striper are two different things.
Well, they say candy stripers in the book,
right? Candy stripers were like women that wore uniforms like nurses, but they had stripes on them.
Yeah,
and they would go around and just kind of like bring.
You doing okay?
Yeah, like more just like check in. They weren't actual like caretaker.
Oh,
nurses
okay,
types.
Okay. Well, these gals are nurses, and the one nurse is like, oh god.
Yeah, and he's like, go get the blood. We need it. So anyway, long story short, he dies, and so this
kind of it has an effect on.
Yeah, it immediately has an effect on the Jason Clark character, and so he starts hallucinating after this. Like the guy pops up. And freaks him out.
This is all like these are things from the book where he thinks he's dreaming and he's walking, he's following Victor Pascal like through the woods into the pet cemetery, and then he wakes up and he, you know, freaked him out nightmare, wakes up and his feet are covered in muck.
Yeah,
so it's just kind of like, was it a dream, was it not a dream, what are we doing here? This is where we get where Judge is kind of like, you need to come take a look at this. We find Church has been hit by a truck.
And the daughter and Church, just like in the first movie, I mean, they have, and I'm guessing the book, they have a very close relationship. This kid loves the cat. And even in the first movie, I think they did a little better job of her. Like when she's talking to him on the phone from out of time, she's like, oh, and make sure Church this. And that, like she really loves this cat, but you still get the feeling here. So when you see that cat dead, you can tell like that little girl, Ellie, is going to
be crushed.
Distraught.
And especially they had just had this conversation about death.
Yes.
And Lou kind of, Jason Clark's character is like, look, he's going to be alive while you're in college. Like, he's going
to
be fine.
He's trying to let it down easy, but
squished by a truck. Yeah. I will say I liked this cat better. Like, the way they do this cat up is closer to like what Church came back looking like. Because like in the original movie, like he comes back looking just fine. You know, in this one, his fur is mangled. He's got blood in his, you know, he's mangled.
Gross,
he's a gross looking
cat.
Oh,
when she's brushing that cat, it was so disgusting.
When
because
he's
you
brushing
knew
her
that it was going to be a, I know, but you just knew that a big clump was going to come out or something.
Right.
So they kind of tease you. But yeah, with the hair, they really go all the way with it.
Yeah. So.
But Judd is the one that helps.
You're right. Judd's kind of like, look, we'll take him up here.
He's like, look, we better bury him tonight. That's all he tells him.
So
and
in the book, Ellie, Gage and Rachel are gone, and then and then he has to do
he
it
can
by
do it all
by
he doesn't
himself.
Have to worry about sneaking around with anything.
So they go up to this is where I feel like they're kind of saying that since Judd has buried his dog up there, that there is a power in that Indian burial ground, which they don't reference the name of the Indians in this.
Yeah.
They don't. I don't even think they use the word Indian, do they?
And they might say native.
They've changed that.
They say, because I couldn't even understand. Is it something burial ground? Like, it just, I don't know.
It's Nuk-Nuk is what they call it in the book.
But they don't, I don't know. I don't
think they say
that.
They don't say it in the movie. They don't say it.
But the whole point is, he says, do you love Ellie? Of course I do. Then follow me. And he just starts going off.
Well, I feel like there's a power, since Judd has been up there,
yeah,
as soon as the grief is felt, like there's a pull.
Well, you think it influenced
him?
Yes, I
do.
Okay.
Yeah. I
was kind of mad at the character in this movie, because I'm like, you know what happens, and you just, like, you knew he didn't come back, and I know he tried, I knew it would be different, he says a lot, but in my mind at the time, I'm like, you know what happens, why would you do this
to these
people?
I feel like there's an influence and a pull that place. Yeah. As soon as
because he says that, like, it tricks you, and you want to believe it.
Right,
yeah.
But
also he says that he thought that he didn't bury the dog up there fast enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he thought that the cat, there was a short...
Okay.
The longer it's dead, the worse it's going to...
Right.
I thought he said that the dog was a bastard before, so he thought it'd be different with the cat, because wasn't...
He did say, too, that the dog was also kind of a dick.
Right.
And so it just...
Since Church was not a dick.
Right.
Yeah. I get it.
What he didn't factor in, though, is that cats are evil.
Always
so,
dicks.
Yeah.
But we have a new dog in our house, too, so that's always,
if there's an influence, I like that, too, because it's like he should be using his head, but if he can't see past
that.
And
that's when we get to the scene where Ellie gets hit and Jason Clark is consumed with the grief, like that the this burial grounds in their backyard. Yeah, so, right. Of course, it would influence him even more.
It's a really good setup. And again, I hadn't read the book and I hadn't seen half the movie before I saw this new one. So I didn't know what to expect. But I'm like, this is a really interesting setup because you show what happens when you bring a cat back. I mean, fast forwarding, the cat comes back, but he's not the same.
He's not the same.
He's scratching. He's biting. Yeah. Obviously, the cat is messed up. So he's not the same Church. So even though they know that, but... you know, Ellie's going to die by the truck that we mentioned earlier, and the father being consumed by grief. It's a really good setup for that. You know it's not the right thing to do, and
but you don't
know
care.
That it's not going to end up right.
Right.
But what would you do in that situation? Yeah. And so I really like the what Stephen King has come up with here, the conflict. And
even in the original book, you are faced with that.
Sure.
You know, I think it's interesting that they... okay, so in the trailers and everything, they do the switch. They tell you up front that it's not Gage.
Yeah.
Right? And I watched an interview.
Everyone knew going into this movie.
Yeah. I watched an interview with the directors, and this interview was like, why would you give that spoiler away? And he was like, look, I think they were both kind of like, we could not have revealed it. You can go into the movie and then you'd be pissed that we changed that. He's like, that way we tell you up front that we've changed it and you can just go in and already know that it's changed. And I was like, that's kind of brilliant. Like you're cutting out the middleman before it even gets there.
You're lowering those expectations. You know, if you expect it to be just a straight remake and you get that switch, you can be mad. So I do like that.
Right. I do as well. I also think it allows, like in the original one, Gage is that kid. Props to that kid from the original one you'd know that kid now. Yeah. He's been in
a bunch of creepy stuff.
He was in the new Nightmare.
Yeah.
Like he was in a Friday or a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. So the kid at that, I mean, he couldn't have been four.
Oh, he was very young.
Very young. Yeah. And the fact that they gave him like stuff to do.
Yeah. No, you know? Holding the kite and running around, like even that stuff. I was impressed. I'm like, this kid is little and he's cutting
Herman Munster's Achilles tendon. So I think it's smart that they switched it because then you could have Ellie, the actress, do more
stuff. That's the thing. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is that in the original, the siblings were the same age, but now you've changed the one that actually gets to do the stuff, which I think is brilliant because they can do more.
And how great
and this
is
girl,
that girl?
Seriously, we just talked last episode about child actors that are not good.
Yeah.
And then you see this movie and how good she is before and then how creepy she is when she comes back.
Yeah,
like,
it's kind of like the kids and Us had to play two very different characters.
Child actors can be good.
They can.
And so it's like you really can't give that excuse.
I think it takes the right director.
Yeah.
Totally. You know what I mean? Totally, like, I think the right person involved knows how to work with kids.
So they have a birthday party. They say, oh, Ellie's not feeling...
Well, we should say that Jason Clark has... Church has gone sour.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a line from the book where he's just like, the ground is sour up there. It's something bad.
And the movie, they say something different besides
sour.
No,
he says.
No, because I just watched it. It wasn't sour. In the movie, in the first one, the original they say the ground is...
Victor Pascal calls it sour.
Yeah.
Yeah, later, much
okay,
later.
But Judd says the ground is... it's like the same
line.
Like
a man's heart, like it's hard.
Yeah, something besides sour. But anyway, I just thought that was...
So Church has gone bad.
Yeah.
And Jason Clark kind of takes him up
to the border.
He's like, you know what? Deuces.
Goodbye.
Get out of here.
Like he's not going to come back.
Right.
So they're at the birthday party. They want to have it for her because she's been out of sorts and whatever. And like, we'll have a really nice birthday party. Family's there, friends. They're playing hide and go seek.
Yeah.
Ellie goes out into the street and then Gage follows her.
Well,
because she sees Church. So she goes out into the street and then a truck is barreling along. He's looking at his phone, which is a good modern update. That's
absolutely
what people would be distracted by.
The other guy was just like singing a song.
Yeah.
I'm
he
like,
was just
what are
driving
you doing?
Along. Yeah. So in this one, he's looking down at his phone. So the truck's barreling. She's going after Church and Gage is going after her.
Right.
So then this is where the fake out is.
You
weren't expecting it.
I got to tell you, they did a great job of leaving it to the last second
minute
because like, well, maybe it is going to be Gage.
This is very reminiscent of how Robin Williams' wife dies in What Dreams May Come.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do they do a double fake?
Yeah, like in terms of like there's a car crash because the whole movie's based around her dying, so you know what's going to happen. It happens in the first 10 minutes or something. But
it's nice when they can fake it.
There's a car crash and it doesn't happen and you think it's okay and then like I think it's even like a tractor trailer can't stop in time and like goes flying and like takes
off.
They pulled a Shazam.
They did pull a Shazam.
That's exactly.
But Jason Clark bolts he sees Gage and I guess they didn't see Ellie.
Which is the same scene from the first movie but he saves him which is the fake.
That's the dream sequence.
But
he saves him.
So the tractor trailer flips and the tanker part goes sliding off and it's moving fast and Ellie just can't get out of the way and it knocks her out.
I've never had a physical or like visceral reaction to a scene. Like I wanted to scream.
You can imagine this happening
in that. Yeah, that's could be that's any exactly kid. It.
It's terrible.
And I and it, my kids are this age. Sure. Like, you know, my youngest is 2 and my oldest is going to be 8.
Yeah.
So like they're right here.
It's hard.
And I remember like I don't, you know, I've seen horror. I watch horror movies sure. all the time. So the fact that this was able to invoke a reaction out of me,
yeah.
a reaction that I had to actively not act on.
Yeah.
You know, like we're in a theater. Like I can't do right. that. Like that got me.
It's good.
And,
it's
and
a good
Tom
scene.
And I, Tom and I were both in the same screening.
Oh yeah.
And we both kind of said that could have gone way worse.
Like yeah, they were. I actually
they were subdued. With it
was restrained.
Oh, tasteful. You mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
They, like I half expected there to be like a blood trail. Yeah. Like
no, and the, really she what gets knocked into the grass.
Yeah.
And,
which
and,
yeah, that's not what that was.
No, she would have been squished. She,
yeah, yeah. I mean, no, they were. I thought the same thing. I'm like, because you're just like, oh. In horror, even in horror movies, like you can't show the a kid getting
right,
you know, and so you're just,
like, just not watching the right horror movies.
Well, most of the time, they don't. You don't see it. It's just something about children. You
they
don't show mutilated.
They kill that kid in Halloween.
Well, it has happened, but most of the times they don't. And so, yeah, I felt they were very tasteful with it. But you know, the mom is crying over the body. Jason Clark's like in slow motion running, and he sees that there's nothing you can do.
Right, and also when on the rare instance that you see a kid get killed in a horror movie,
yeah,
it's normally just. It's fodder, and it's to show how evil
this person is.
You don't then linger in the grief
yeah,
of
right.
the family.
And that's and we've said it before with it. I think the thing that people missed with Stephen King with his adaptations, like towards the newer ones at least,
yeah.
is they missed that he would do this world building and these yeah. character buildings, and then the horror happens to those characters, and right. that's even worse.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it took Hollywood... like a generation and a half to figure that out.
Do you
out.
Think that his old ones did that?
No. I mean, I think there are exceptions. I think Misery did
yeah,
that.
That's true.
I think Stand By Me did that. I would also like to point out they were both
Bachman books.
Both had screenplays.
Oh.
No, they both had. No, they neither of those were Bachman books.
Stephen King, the Stand By Me wasn't a Bachman?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
I don't think so. No. That
it
was
short. It was The Body. That's you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were both of their screenplays were by William Goldman.
Oh.
And so, you know, I think that played a role.
Probably.
And Shawshank, you know, but also these are books that have the least supernatural element as
that's
well,
true.
Too, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Body, Stand By Me and Shawshank have
none.
Really none. And Misery doesn't really either. It's
she's just crazy.
She's crazy, but there's not really a supernatural element.
Yeah.
So
I think the next one, to me, the next one that should be remade is Salem's Lot. Like, if we're going to go down this road, I feel like Salem's Lot is
yeah.
prime for a remake. And they did it with Rob Lowe, and it wasn't good.
So they have the funeral. Everyone's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's obviously...
So this is... Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Because in the book... And in the original movie, there is a
altercation.
Not just that, but like they hate like Rachel's parents.
Yeah, in the movie, he brings
hate,
up that's why they he doesn't
Lou.
Go with them because
right.
in the movie and I guess the book, the family's gone and he's like I'm not going to give your parents any more reason to hate me or whatever. Like he just like
right.
I don't want to be around them. And then at the funeral,
which just adds another layer of personal.
Yeah, that he has to deal
stuff.
With. And
well,
so,
yeah, right.
And the dad's like, what were you doing letting him play in the street? Where were you? And punches him at the funeral.
Yeah. And well,
we're in this one. We
no,
don't...
Lou punches him for in the in. So at least in the book.
Oh, in this... the movie, the dad
you're
punches
right,
Lou.
You're right.
That's
so
all I know.
So in the book, like they are going back and forth and Lou kind of turns around. He doesn't want anything. And
yeah.
he finally, I think the dad says something and Lou turns around and blasts yeah. him in the face. But then
that
he realizes what he's done.
Yeah.
And then he lets the old man beat the
out
of
oh,
him.
Okay.
Sorry. Beat the piss out of him.
Yeah.
And then you get the scene where like the coffin kind of pops open and you see Gage's hand and is like, oh, and as you know, it's one thing to see it, but it's another thing to like hear Dexter tell you what's
yeah.
happening. And it's just like, oh, God, the family leaves. Mm-hmm. They go back to Chicago, which is where Rachel's from. We should also say that we keep seeing glimpses of Rachel's sister. Zelda.
This is again the
both.
Horror.
I think the first
one's very creepy
is,
too.
Oh God.
But this one with the spine moving, it looks so much more like gnarly in this one, just because
yeah.
it's updated effects or
so
whatever.
So what did she? Do you remember what she had?
Oh,
was it MS?
No,
I don't know.
It was called.
She had like
it was some kind of disorder, but it was a
yeah.
spinal thing. Her body's twisting itself. When you see these flashbacks of the little girl bring the thing up and the spine manipulating and the, oh my gosh, it's terrifying. And when she goes to that medicine cabinet and she dreams that it's a dumbwaiter because when the little girl was young, she had to bring
that, that was never in the book.
Okay. It was that in the was first movie added. That she was bringing.
Yeah.
I mean the food to the sister. And
oh, okay. Yeah.
But anyway, when she shows that, it's like, you know what's going to happen because she explains finally to Jason Clark's character that she didn't want to see the sister because she was scared of her.
Right.
And so she put the food in the dumbwaiter. Her parents said not to do that. It doesn't always work. But she actually went, the sister had to go get the food and fell into it and died. So she, you know, kind of caused the death. And so we see her look into this medicine cabinet that's opened up into a dumbwaiter. She looks up at, which first of all, you're like, oh my God, don't do that. But so it's creepy. There's eerie noises and you hear it about to fall, and so it comes down and it gives you that good jump scare, but you're like, whew, okay, she's not really in there. And then
the body
just
falls on top of it.
Second later, the body falls, so they fake you out, but then they do it, and it is a horrifying, one of the most horrifying moments I can remember at the theater. Like, they handled the horror so well in this.
We've talked about elevated horror. I hate that term, but this one is, these two dudes know how to work those jump scares.
But see, I think this is the opposite of quote unquote elevated horror. Like, and this is a good movie. I enjoy it. But see, we're so used to these thinking movies and Us and Get Out want to make you think and whatever. I'm like, this was a down and dirty, scary horror movie.
Yeah.
And
I would
it was
agree.
Very well done. This
I would
is
agree.
The opposite of what we've been
They're not telling a story.
You don't
They're
have
not, there's
to
no
think.
Social commentary.
It's to scare you. I'm not saying there isn't one there, but it's to
there
scare
aren't,
you.
There aren't layers
yes.
to the story
right.
of like, this means something yes. or there's no metaphors.
This is go to the theater and get your pants scared off. Like,
yeah, basically.
You are going there for a thrilling time. If you like to jump and be scared and be creeped out, this is the movie. And
I think what makes it feel a little bit more elevated, though, is that because it revolves around the death of a child, that it's, you can't enjoy it in the same way that you can just enjoy
Scream or
a
something.
Slasher
Halloween.
Flick.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's there and it's well done. I just mean, like, I kind of, it was kind of refreshing to not have to go, what does all this mean? Like, with Us, let me dissect this. I just was there. It was scary.
Yeah.
And I got out and I'm like, oh, it was a creepy good time.
Both movies have their place.
Exactly. They do. And that's what I love about horror is that you can go anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
So they
leave and he's like, I got to finish up some things. And he knows that
he knows that Judd is going to stop
him. He knows Judd's going to stop him, so he goes over there and pours him a drink.
With full of morphine.
He Cosby's him.
Yeah, he does Cosby him. But it's also, like, I'm trying to remember, in the book, Judd's like, look, man, I know what you're planning.
And
don't
the movie
do
does,
it.
Too. And the movie's because, like, don't you, I know what you're thinking.
Because there's a scene in the, again, they kind of reference it in the original movie of, like, that zombie guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, Victor Pascal keeps showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you've broken, the barrier's been broken, and like, whatever comes back is not going
to
be.
He's trying to help. So, you know, since the doctor tried to save his life, he is coming back and saying, don't do this. He's warning him.
Victor, and in the original one, in the book, in the movie, he shows up a lot.
Yeah.
Like, Pascal is there all the time. There's a scene where Ellie is kind of like, I guess it is Gage.
It's in this one too.
Is it?
Where Gage is like, sees him and he's freaked out mom when they're in Chicago. Yeah.
Right. That's right.
But anyway, so he has to take, he has to put, how do you say, knock
him
out or whatever. No, I mean, he doesn't kill him. But so he's taking a drink and Lithgow's really good. He's this
Lithgow's great.
He's this creepy, kooky, like kind of like you don't know what to take him as old
they
man.
They take the wife out of this movie, which I thought was interesting. Like that in the book, his wife is alive.
Oh,
and she's sick. So, like, that adds a level of relationship to Judd and Lou, where, like, Judd always is like, or Lou kind of says in an inner monologue where he's like, you know, the problem with being a doctor is everybody, like, hey, since you're around, you mind taking a look at this?
Yeah.
Where, like, and Judd never did it.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, about his wife. But finally, his wife was getting worse, and he was like, do you mind taking a look at her? And of course, at that point, the relationship between Lou and Judd was fairly strong enough where he's like, yeah, absolutely.
So,
and we lose her in the movie.
Yeah.
Like the funeral in that first one, I think was supposed to be Judd's wife.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, cause in the original movie, she's not around either.
Right.
I didn't know.
So that she is her. And they kind of allude in this one that Judd buried
her
up
there. That's the thing. I was going to wonder if that was in the source because I didn't get it from the first one yet. I hadn't finished it. But in this movie,
it's not in the book.
Judd is like, he knows what he's going to do. And then they allude
that
from the creepy Transformance thing that it's like that Judd did the same thing that Jason Clark did. It's like it worked with the animal, and he had the same grief when his wife finally died
yeah.
And he took her up there and she turned into a demon, whatever.
Right.
So, but anyway, so he knocks Judd out and he goes, and it's a hard scene to watch. He's digging the soil, you know, from the recently buried daughter.
Right.
Takes her out. He sees her, takes her out, and he climbs with her up to the thing, and he covers her up, and it's hard. He says sorry, and he puts dirt over her face.
It's interesting. Like, it's so much harder to watch when the dude in the original one is doing it, because Gage is so small.
He's little, yeah.
Like, there's that whole scene where he's sitting at his dug up grave with this little body, yeah. And it's just like, ugh. Yeah,
that's true. Anytime something happens to a kid, it's awful, but it's like the younger they are, it just seems so tragic,
right.
Like that much more because they're little and it's uncomfortable. Like,
yeah.
Like, especially a kid that little, it's like,
ugh. I still don't get why he had to go drug Judd. I think what he wanted to make sure Judd didn't try to stop him.
He was just
but
like,
I mean, how would he have even known? Oh, I mean, they live right across the street from each other.
But it's all the way back in his... I don't know. I didn't feel like that...
I get it.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. But I guess I feel like
he knew Judd would have stopped him.
He would have seen Judd leaving.
He didn't want to mess with it. He just was like, I'm not having anyone stop me. I know he'll try to talk me out of it. You know, that's the thing. He could have convinced him, whatever. He's like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, they live in such a small little area that Judd would have seen Lou leave in the middle of the night. Okay. He would have seen Lou come back with
Judd knew, and at least in the first one, Herman Munster's sitting there, and he's like, I gotta fix this, you stupid old man, or whatever. He's like, I know what he's gonna try to do.
Right.
So like,
and
he's
then,
probably
course,
watching him constantly, like,
right,
waiting for it. But anyway, so he brings him up there, or brings her up there. It's uncomfortable. He gets back home, and then
he's just taking a. No, that's in the
that's
original.
The original.
Yeah, right.
But whatever, she's there.
Yeah, she shows back up, yeah. And she is messed up.
Yeah.
Like, at least in the original one, it felt like he came back okay, like physically okay. You know, like he didn't.
I didn't get that far, so I can't help you.
Oh, okay. So yeah. When Gage comes back, he doesn't
look as, like,
look as
zombified.
Yes.
I mean, she's obvious.
She's a zombie.
Yeah.
Like, there's zombies.
Ellie, like, half of her face is drooping.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
her eye is shut. Yeah. Her right eye is shut. And then she's all messed up. And the original... No, maybe it's in this one. He's like, oh, you had to come out of the ground. So there's twigs in her. Is that the original?
Yeah.
Or is...
It's both. Like,
oh, okay.
She's got
stuff
she's
all
got
over
muck
her,
on her
so,
and stuff.
So he takes her to the bath to clean her off. And this is so uncomfortable because I'm like, her scalp is getting pulled off. Like, it didn't go that far, but when he's pulling through the hair, it looks like he's about to just grab the whole scalp and hair
and
together.
He kind of like pulls her hair out, and you can see
the staples
in the back of her head. And he takes the dress that she's buried in off, and she's wearing, you know, something else, like night clothes or whatever.
And he puts the dress, for some reason, before all this, he laid the dress that I guess she died in on the bed.
Yeah.
And I guess because they just, for sentimental or whatever, so it was still around.
Right.
But, so she eventually puts it on later.
Puts it back
and
on.
And I think it's still, like, bloodstains.
It's still, it's
and
got,
and
like,
dirty.
Dirt, and he's like, why did you put that back on?
Yeah.
And so she's in, you know, she's dancing in the living room. He hears the music and he was like, oh my god, she's back, like, she's okay.
Oh yeah. The next morning he wakes up because the creepy scene, she's like, you know, are you gonna tell mommy and all this, and he's like, let's just worry about let's get to bed.
I gotta
and all
tell
this.
You in our screening we had this piece of garbage person who would laugh
at the weirdest moments.
And like I get the scene where like he lays down and he's just like, let's just go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I get like the nervous laughter,
but they're really
like laughing. And
see,
just
I
like,
saw
ugh.
This at 9 a.m. with one other person in the theater who didn't make a peep. Like,
good.
That's why. Again, I mean, not to go off on a huge rant, but it's like going to the theater is annoying, and it's like
Can
I
be.
Love seeing a movie on the big screen, surround sound. I love the theatrical experience. Minus the people.
Yeah.
And when they behave themselves, it's fine, but it's like, be respectful of people. So anyway, but it's like, yeah, he wakes up and she's gone. So you're like, oh crap, what is this? And you hear the music, she's dancing, but she is tearing the house up. She's knocking pictures over.
Yeah.
And
she
throws stuff.
She starts to get more and more wild.
And I think he realizes, like, crap, she's church. It's the same thing. Like,
yeah. And then at this point, Rachel has been trying to get a hold of him and hasn't been able to.
She has to call Judd.
She calls Judd. Judd goes over there. And he, you know, Jason Clark.
He peeks his head out the door.
Right.
You know, like,
it's never a good sign when you don't open the door fully.
Right.
Like, it's never a good thing. And he's like, oh, I'm just waiting here. I have to wait for Rachel to call.
And, Judd,
and of course,
Judd's like, how you feeling? Because Judd woke up after being drugged. And then, you know, they were apparently drinking together. He's like, how's your head? And he's like, oh, it's pounding. And Judd's like, huh, I don't remember you leaving.
He's
you
passed out.
But and he's like, okay, got to go.
But he also said, like, Rachel tells Judd, she's like, I've been calling him all day.
Oh, yeah, and he goes, I'm waiting for her to
call.
And so Judd knows
so
exactly
in the book and in the original movie,
Rachel leaves, but leaves Ellie.
Oh, okay.
Right? So Ellie stays with the grandparents in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And
gotcha.
Never comes back.
I see.
So
that's why you don't remember.
Ellie survives.
Okay. Interesting.
We'll get into that.
Okay.
This had an ending.
It's a very bleak
where
ending.
It's just like,
I can't believe when this movie just ended like
there's
that.
There's two endings. They filmed the second ending.
Okay. Well,
and
we'll get
just,
there.
They're just
we'll...
like, that one's even worse.
Yeah. Okay.
Worse.
Yeah. Which means I was like, oh, so you show it?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Rachel comes back with Gage.
Oh, this is so creepy. Yeah. And it's like, so, you know, Ellie is in another room and she's like, what are you doing? And then he just starts laying out. He's like, I had to do it. She's like, what?
I needed more time with her.
And then she creepily starts walking through, and it's from her POV.
Yeah.
And she turns her head and it's
Rachel looks at her. Yeah. And Jason Clark again has had this character turn.
He's
messed up.
He's crazed in like a distraught way.
Yes.
And kudos to him. I mean, Jason Clark's dependable, but I don't always think of him as like, oh, the great Jason Clark.
Right.
Like, he is...
He's solid.
He's pretty good in this movie.
Yeah, he's very good.
Very believable as a traumatized...
A grieving father, yeah. And he's just like, hug your daughter.
Yeah, she...
And she was like...
Ellie walks up to her, and she's like, no, and she runs upstairs with Gage.
Right. And then they kind of lock her in the... She locks herself in this room, and... Ellie kind of says she doesn't want me here anymore, and he was like, oh, that's not true. And she's like, I don't want her here either.
That little girl,
like,
is
oh, no.
She is so creepy. What a great job.
I guess she killed before we get there. She killed Judd.
Not yet. This is later. So now Judd's hanging out at his house or whatever.
Oh, he sees Ellie. He sees her in the window, and then he comes back to his house.
He's getting like a paper cutter. Then he finds his gun. Or no, she gets the paper cutter.
Yeah, she gets she gets a scalpel.
Oh, it's a scalpel.
That's why it cuts like that.
Yeah, it's her
Maybe
dad.
Maybe in the original movie it was
It's still her dad's scalpel. Okay.
But anyway, so then he goes and he's like trying to find his gun that they showed earlier, Judd's gun, I guess.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's
literally.
What it is. Yeah.
But he's going to find his gun, and then she comes and slices his gun.
This is a great head fake, because in the original one, that scene is iconic of little Gage under Judd's bed and slices Achilles tendon.
Oh, so the fake out. He goes upstairs when he hears something.
Okay, so you haven't gotten that far
in the original one. Nothing under the bed
so
in this one.
So that's a fake out.
Got it.
Is you think that Gage... That Ellie is under the bed and she's not.
Right. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So
he goes downstairs, and as he's going down the stairs,
And then, oh, God. Like, that, it's one of those scenes in horror films that will go down. If you were to rank, like, you know, top 20 scenes in a horror movie, Gage cutting Herman Munster's Achilles tendon will always rank high.
I hadn't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
But this is gnarly.
It's gnarly.
And Lithgow's crawling on the ground.
Right.
And she is so menacing. And again, this is
she's
a
got
young
the, and she's
girl.
Got this, like, one of those, the masks on from earlier in the movie.
Yeah, the funeral mask.
Oh,
yeah.
This was the cat mask that was hanging on the grave that she saw. So, like, all the kids had them, but this was one on
she
a
took
grave.
It.
And she took it.
And she's been wearing it. And
creepy.
She kills Judd, like, guts him.
Oh, she,
So then we go back to the house. And I'm trying to...
Jason Clark try to talk to Rachel or something?
Yeah, but then he... I'm trying to think. He goes over to see Judd.
Oh, and so then he's out of the house.
Right.
And Ellie goes to town on...
Ellie kills her mom.
Yeah.
And Jason Clark...
Gage is hanging out the window.
Yeah, she drops Gage.
Yeah, and then Ellie takes her out.
Right, so
she shanks her and has like a really she talks to her though, and
and she's like, it'll all be okay in a little bit. Yeah. It'll be
she
fine.
She takes the scalpel out and back in or whatever, and just like, ugh.
So Jason Clark takes Gage and puts him in the car, locks the car.
He says,
like,
don't open it for
anyone
else.
Also, I'm just kind of like, this kid has no idea what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, he has no clue.
But he's like, don't open it for anyone, even Ellie, right?
Yeah, Ellie.
But he doesn't say not for me, which comes into play later.
So we know that Lou knows that Judd is dead.
Yeah.
He runs upstairs. He finds Ellie's body, or not Ellie's, but Rachel's body.
And then Ellie clocks him
in the back of the head. So then we realize that Ellie has super strength.
I thought the same thing, because she's sitting there dragging the mom, but you know exactly what she's going to do. And not seeing the other ones, I didn't know where it was going. But when I saw this, I'm like, oh my God, they're like all reincarnating these demons out of the cemetery. Like, she's going to keep taking bodies and try to make this
perfect family.
Demon family.
So she wakes up to Rachel, or Rachel wakes up to her being drugged, and then we cut back to Jason Clark. And Jason knows...
Rachel wakes up? I thought she was dead when she was dragging her to the cemetery.
Oh, she was. I'm sorry. You're right.
So anyway, but it cuts back to him.
He wakes up.
He realizes that...
What has happened. Yeah. Gage is still in the car and asleep. Yeah. Like, he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, because you're like, oh my god, what happened to Gage? And you look, he's sleeping. Sleeping. Okay, he's fine.
So he goes up, he knows where she's going, goes up to the pet cemetery. Massive, not a massive fight, but a fight.
Massive
between,
superhero showdown.
It kind of was, though. Like, he has to, like, he can't get a handle on her.
He has to fight this little crazy.
His daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing, is you're like, oh my god, it's this daughter that he's done all this to reincarnate, and then he has to like throw her around and hit her. Like,
right. And then she, like, they do a weird thing with the camera where you feel like the demon's going to come out at one point, but then as he's about ready to kill Ellie.
Oh, she does the fake out thing. Like, I am your sweet daughter.
And
like,
he's like, bullshite. And goes, and then he gets stabbed in the chest. Like,
oh, right.
Giant,
as he's about to cut her head off with the shovel,
he
gets shoved with a rebar through the chest.
Through the chest.
And that's when you're like, oh, it's the
mom. Then
she
drops, and then right behind her is the mom. And then they drag.
And then you see them both
up.
Dragging him. And then
and
the
then
final scene.
Well,
is,
then it like fades out because like Judd's house is on fire. And then it fades, like the.
Oh, is it Judd's?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then like you see like the. This, I mean, it's a beautifully shot movie. Yeah. I did. Somebody posted online that like the scene where they go to the pet cemetery for the first time looks like something out of Supernatural.
Yeah.
Like the show.
Oh, well,
like
it was that's kind of, the highest praise you could for
I,
you.
I love it. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
I will say the fog for
a little much.
A little ridiculous.
A little Hammer film.
Had so much fog in it. And then when they would do close-ups, there was no fog on the ground. Like, they did for, what's Atmosphere? Like, you know, you add fog for Atmosphere in movies, whatever, but they had a swamp layer, like,
it was
crazy
a little,
fog.
Little Universal Monster-y
fog
level.
And I was just like, they zoom in, walking in there, and there's zero fog on the ground. Right. I'm like, you didn't really, just make it dark and creepy. You didn't need all that fog. But anyway.
So yeah, so they then it cuts to black.
Yeah, the final scene, you see Gage in the car, and then it's the...
Well, yeah, you see him kind of just standing there with his hand on the window, and then you see all three
walking together, dirty.
One's
all...
got a can of gas, and then Jason Clark kind of comes up. You don't really see him walk around. Like, he kind of just, like...
Yeah. But it's a puts, creepy hand on the window.
And then the Gage then it, puts his hand on the window,
and then, cut.
And then you hear a boop, boop.
Yeah, so it's like, it's like, you know that, again, the
and
kid...
So, like, not only do you... You think you're not going to have to deal with Gage getting hit by a truck.
But you clearly know they're going to turn
they're
it
gonna
into
kill Gage.
Yeah.
It's worse. So I wonder what their other ending is.
Yeah. We'll
he said it's going to be on the Blu-ray. It'll be there.
Okay.
So
we'll have to look that up and see if they've, well, maybe they haven't revealed it yet, but we'll post it if we find it. But yeah, it was creepy. It was unnerving. Those kids, I mean, especially Ellie. Kudos
but,
to her.
So in the original one, all of them die.
Okay.
Except for Ellie. Like, so, they all die.
Now, there's a pet cemetery, too, with John Connor in it. Is it related, the families?
I think it's somebody else gets the house, right?
Like, okay. Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, I'm like, I look at the cover, and I'm like, that's Edward Furlong.
It is Edward Furlong.
He looks just like T2, like, era around that age, you know? And I'm like, I had no idea. I had never seen either, but I didn't know there was a pet cemetery, too.
Yes, there is, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have not heard too many good things about it.
But yeah, I think this is, if this is where we're going with his... With Stephen King's adaptations, I think this is great.
And then this,
and we've got It 2 coming out. Yeah, Chapter 2 comes out this November. No,
it's
is it this summer?
Is this year?
It's this year.
September.
Is it
the for the first one came out in September. I thought the plan was
I think
to
this
release
might be a summer movie
at the same time, like the same time of year.
Oh, maybe.
I think it did so well.
I feel like you can't really redo Misery. That's not really one that needs a remake. But I do think like Salem's Lot could use one. Maybe Cujo. I don't know. I feel like
they're
that
redoing
might be.
The Stand.
Oh, they are?
As a miniseries, I think, for HBO.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, sure. Well, why not? But there's, you know, there's so many books out there that he has done that deserves a...
It is September.
Oh. Is it? Okay. Yeah. That deserves a remake and deserves a good shot.
Yeah. I mean, so many of his movies... Like, I mean, obviously, there's been classics, like you mentioned, and Shawshank and that.
Yeah.
But there's also been a lot of stinkers.
Oh, for sure.
Like, so...
Like,
he is the most adapted author.
He's had way more turds than hits from a movie standpoint.
But I'm just saying, like, I feel like the books, those early books deserve
a shot.
I mean, if you've never seen Salem's Lot, do it. Like, it is in this current continuity of these, like, character-driven horror flicks, Salem's Lot is the one where it's, like, it's based in this town.
What's the premise?
There is a vampire in this town, and he is taking people, and he's building, like, an army, basically. Or he's building his family.
Okay.
And you've got, like, an old... It's kind of like Fright Night, but way... There's a scene that messed me up as a kid forever.
Well, it had to be a transformation, though.
It wasn't.
Oh.
It was a vampire kid... Like knocking on
the window. Yeah, the window.
Oh, real
scene.
Creepy.
Holy guacamole.
Now, do these vampires sparkle?
Nope.
Okay.
They are legit vampires.
Maybe I'll watch it anyway.
You should. Really love a sparkly vampire. I was like, that's not the way I thought that was going.
I love a sparkly vampire.
Who doesn't? Right?
Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, you can say that.
All right. But yeah, I think this is, again, it's a very bleak movie. It's an expertly done movie.
When it just ended, because, of course, not having seen any of the previous versions, I didn't know how it was going to end, right? So I'm like, I don't know who's going to survive. I don't know where this is going. And when they just walk out with a gas canister and they're all zombie demons, and then you know that they're going to get gauged, I'm like, holy crap. And it just ends. Like, I'm like, wow, that's what.
Especially for a non, like, indie horror movie.
This is a Paramount movie.
For a major Hollywood release.
I didn't expect there to not be a final girl, or, you know what I mean, not be someone
there
escapes.
Was,
like,
he just didn't make it.
Yeah, I'm just like, I cannot believe they didn't set it up like a, this is just like a,
And he never wrote a sequel. Like, the sequels, Children of the Corn was one of his, that they just kept going back to the well like 5 or 6 times.
And that was a short story. That wasn't even a full novel.
Yeah.
So the second one is not from his book. They
it's based on his characters, but not on his stuff. But yeah, I think if you watch the original one and this one in tandem, like, it gives you a really good idea of what that book is. If you don't want to read the book. If you do want to read the book, it's totally worth your time.
It's a good book.
It's a great book.
Yeah.
That's a solid, and I'm not a huge horror person. Like, I know Tom isn't, and I'm like, this is a creepy movie. I enjoy it.
Yeah, they go watch Starry Eyes. I can't recommend that movie enough.
What's that one?
It's about a young gal who goes to Hollywood, who kind of
it's his other horror movie.
Yeah. Okay. These two directors.
Yeah,
they did this as well. She goes to Hollywood to make it, and she kind of gets into the darker side.
Okay.
I don't want to say what the darker side is, besides the one that we already know about that's been all over the news.
Yeah.
But there's,
okay, cool.
It's totally, it's very, very similar to this in atmosphere and tone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And if you would like to join in on the discussion, swing on by Facebook.com/Real Spoilers and find the official discussion thread and chime in with your thoughts on killing children. In a movie.
About these movies.
Sure,
thank you for clarifying.
In a movie.
Yeah, I like the pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin can edit that at some point. Yeah.
So, and also don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, you get bonus content and maybe a chance to be on the show. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Yeller gets rabies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.